Those are our verses this morning. It starts with, it's a greeting. I, Paul, and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the thanksgiving. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of his very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Just as it is for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all, or y'all, the Southerns would say, y'all partakers with me of grace. Verse 8, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all, there you go, for y'all, with the affection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I bring myself before you today that I might have the mind of Christ, and I bring all my thoughts in subjection to the thoughts of Jesus Christ. I bring my mouth to you to only speak your word, God. I pray for your people, for a heart of that they may be able to open hearts, God, that they may be able to hear you and come out of this place with a thankful heart, because you, God, are a good, good Father, as we sang this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. Too bad Christy's not here. Okay, the title of my message this morning is two important words, which is thank you. And I remember attending a conference one time at, Jack Hayford's Church on the Way. And there was this lady who would recite the book of Revelations, the whole book of Revelations, she would recite that. And it was so alive because it had this background music, and she recited the whole book. That was all by memory. And this is on the book of Revelations, and it was so good. And you know, the book of Revelation comes so alive. So I was listening to her, and I said, you know, I want to do that someday. And among all the books, I know I love the Bible. I love the scripture. And the book that I really want to memorize is the book of Philippians, because it's a book that is full of words of encouragement. It's a book of joy. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, is so tender. You know, he has this great affection to the people of the Philippi. And besides that, it's so close to the, you know, Philippines. It's very close. So this letter you would appreciate this letter if you know the background, how Paul wrote it. The book is written by Paul, and it's one of the prison epistles. You know, Pastor Ed was preaching on one of the prison epistles, which is Ephesians, and then there's Colossians, and then there's Philemon. And also Philippians. So I'll bring you back to the time when it was written. It was written like in Rome, you know, the seat of Rome, where you have palaces, where you have gladiators, where you have chariots. But we will not stop there, where the Colosseum is or where the palaces are. We're going to this room, in this dreary room. It's dark. And here is this young man. He's probably balding. I don't know how he looked, but he's probably balding in his old age. And he's on the floor, and he's with a pen and a paper. But there he's in chains. He is in chains. Now, that is the background. That is where he wrote this letter. And you, if you read the whole book of Philippians, you would not hear any complaint or any discouragement, words of discouragement from Paul. You know, he would remember, he says, he could have written, I remember Philippi, you know, because this is where he traveled. If you want to see where the book of, where he was in Philippi, it's in Acts chapter 16. It was there where he was met by a slave girl that had with a spirit of fortune telling. And he was met there, and he was also there where he was imprisoned. He was accused. He could have written and said, you know, I remember Philippi, where I was met by this slave girl that was had a spirit of fortune telling, and how I was imprisoned and then put in dungeon by the people in the Philippi. But no, you know what he said? What he wrote? He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So why was Paul thankful? I have like three things that the reasons why Paul was thankful. Number one, he says he had happy memories of the people. Verse 3 and 4 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Remember writing that in prison. Remember writing that in the dark place. And he says he's writing with joy. And I remember, you know, he would remember Lydia, this businesswoman. You know, she was a businesswoman that opened her house to Paul. And Paul and this Lydia received the Lord Jesus Christ. And he remembered this slave girl while he was on his roads of Philippi, and how the slave girl was with this spirit of the demon. But you know, this slave girl was delivered, and she received this Jesus Christ. Those are the things that she remembered. And while she was in prison, she remembered the jailer. While she was in there, there was an earthquake, and all the chains were loosed. And that day, the jailer received the Lord Jesus Christ and received Paul. Those are the memories that Paul remembered rather than the bad memories, right? So here we are in the wee hours of the morning when I'm like awake at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and I would start complaining to the Lord or with a heart of discouragement, because then the enemy, what the enemy does, you know how the enemy does, is to kill, to steal, and destroy. So he would like to rob you of your joy. And here in the morning hours, I would, you know, start and complaining and grumbling, and Lord puts me back memories, happy memories of this church. How he said, remember Rose, how I put all that church together? Do you remember, Rose, how I gave you a license in a Seventh-day Adventist or in a Saturday community, Seventh-day worshiping community? Remember, Rose, how I put all the people together, how I brought these people. Remember those times? And I do have happy memories in this church. We all have happy memories. Sometimes we like to recall them. We recall their camping memories, our youth events, the funniest and the most memorable ones are our Valentine's Day, where we had to sit way in the front, back there. We had those memories. We have memories of the, we have like camping memories in Sequoia. Brother Ken says it was a 4 hours drive, but it was a 6 hour drive, but we had happy memories there. You know, so we have all these memories, and the Lord would remind me of all these memories. And Lord, what should I say? Should I start grumbling? And no, he says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that indeed only by your grace that we are forgiven. And he would remind me of how, you know, in front of our eyes, witness how he, you know, how many people have we visited in the hospital that have been in tubes? And then we see them walking. We see Camille here walking. We see Irvin and Pastor Ed, the witness of the miraculous healing of our Lord. I see the witness of Myra and Vic, you know, these are memories that I have of this church. And these are happy memories. I see how the Lord is working in every day of our lives. It's not our work, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's God working in our lives. And I can choose to dwell on those bad memories, or I can choose to dwell on those good memories. I have the choice. And y'all have the choice. You can choose to dwell on the past and those bad memories. Oh, you know, and then just have a self-pity and then go with your alcohol, what people do with their alcohol, with their drugs, anything that would make you cope with those bad memories. Like Paul chose to focus on those happy memories. That's why he had good memories. Even while in prison, he had good memories of Philippi. You know, Irma Bombeck, I love her. I love her books because she's a funny, humorous writer. But in one of her books, she says, an estimated 1.5 million people are living today with breast cancer. Every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina who had cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, here is an 8-year-old girl that has cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard. And finally she says, I don't know. I've got 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything. The kid is right. She had a spirit of contentment and a thankful heart. Now remember the 10 lepers? How many went back to Jesus? Only one, right? Now I read maybe there are possible reasons why the 9 did not return. Maybe they had these thoughts. Like sometimes we have these thoughts why we can't thank God. One of them says, one waited to see if the cure was real. One waited, that's one. 2 waited to see if it would last. You know, sometimes we think it would last. 3, one said that he would see Jesus later. That's a postponement. One decided that he had never had leprosy. That's a denial. One said that he would have gotten well anyway. Even without Jesus, he would have gotten well anyway. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. Don't we say that something didn't do anything? It's all what I did. Then one said, any rabbi could have done it. But the last one said, I was already much improved. So these may be the reasons those 9 lepers did not return to Jesus. And sometimes, you know, we could have all the reasons not to thank God because we always focus on ourselves, our needs, our discomforts, what we don't have. The second reason that Paul was thankful is because he had firm confidence in God. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's confidence was not in himself, was it? He knew that God was at work and in control. He was confident that God was bringing about whatever was happening for his greater glory. If you look back, the words began, started, the other version say started, and the word complete, or the other version say perfect. So you could say, the work you have begun in me will by your grace be fully done. That's what gives us the confidence. And this is what the confidence that I have for y'all. What the Lord has started in your life, he will complete it till the day he comes. So whatever, when I see the people that are here and are no longer here, I still have the confidence that God is going to finish what he started. He's going to finish what he started in your life, Myla. He's going to start whatever he started in your life, Lourdes and Glona and every one of you, Jerica and every one of you. He's going to complete it till the day he comes. So I have a good news for those of you who have been praying for their spouse, for their children, for their daughter, for their neighbor. And you know, on Wednesdays, we always, when you come on Wednesday prayer, you hear our friend, Lord, save our neighbor. Lord, save the friend. You know, you should hear all the groanings of Myra and Becky and Pastor Ed, how she's been praying for all his brothers and sisters. Now, this gives confidence in all of us that are praying for our saved loved ones. God, Jesus said when he was on the cross, it is finished. The word finished, teleo, finished, kaput, done. The work is done. That will give you joy, isn't it? So, if you have somebody that you've been praying for a long time, or your family, or your loved ones that you've been praying for a long time, the Lord has not folded his hands, well, forget that person. Nope, he's not done yet, right? Because whoever he has started the work, he will complete it. And that will give you joy. Well, there's this story. There's an illustration of a man. He had a business that it became a very huge operation. But who knows that if once you have a big business, it also have great demands, right? So he was stressed. He was worried because there was so much demand on his job. Any promotion comes, any responsibility, greater demands too. Sister Becky, right? Yeah, so, but he had a large business that came with a great demand. So he was so stressed, he was so worried. But then he finally, one night, gave it all over to God. So with a smile of quiet contentment, he prayed, Lord God, the business is yours. All the worry, the stress, and the fears I release to you and your sovereign will. From this forward, Lord, from this day forward, Lord, you own this business. And you know, he went that night with peace, and it was the first time he had experienced peace. But then in the middle of the night, he heard this ring on the phone, woke the man. The caller says, it was a panic voice, and he was yelling, fire, the enterprise is going up in smoke. The man, you know, that's his business, all in smoke, it's on fire. The man just dressed up calmly, got into his car, drove to the plant, and then his hands on his pocket, he stood there watching the fire, and he was smiling, and his plant and the whole business is on fire. So that kind of man, when he approached him, he says, man, why are you smiling and so calm? That's your business. The man answered, well, yesterday afternoon, I gave this business to God. I told him that it was his. If he wants to burn it up, that's his business. So if you're troubled by anything, just give it all to God. Sabi nga nila, ipa-juice mo na lang, right? Ipa-juice mo na lang. So in other words, I have this firm confidence about ICFC. That ICFC is owned by God. I gave it all to God. We gave it all to God. He's the CEO. He's the director. He's the owner. He's the president. And who are we? We are just the bond servants. Paul called himself the bond servant, doulos, a slave of Jesus Christ. So we are just the bond servant. And here is a poem I came across by Helen Malicot. Oh, I think I've spelled it right wrong. I was regretting my past and fearing the future. Suddenly my Lord was speaking, "My name is I Am." He paused, I waited, he continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Was, I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am. Isn't that wonderful? So in other words, pajus nyo na lang, you know? Then you will be have a heart of gratitude and you'll have be joyful. And the last reason that Paul was thankful was because he had warm affection towards his fellow believers. It is in the book of Philippians that he says, this is just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart as much as both in my chains, in the chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are all partakers with me of grace, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you, all with the affection. You know, those are the words that really, it says, how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. You know, he's a man and he's writing with affection. Paul had this great affection for the Philippian believers. He had the same love that Christ has to the church. The same way that Pastor Ed will die for International Christian Faith Church. He loved this church. I mean, he loved this church. We love this church. And we thank God because it reminds us that we are not alone. You know, because we are not alone because we have you guys, you know, sharing the same purpose to which God has created us and sharing, which is sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything, I thank God for all of you. God puts phases sometimes, and I thank God for all of you. You're still here. After, 18 years, you're still here. We should have a award for the for the ones that has, Hall of Fame for the ones that have been here the longest. Because you know, for some of you, it's just like me. I have family outside. I mean, my sisters, my brothers are all far away, and you're just the closest relative that I have because you're here every Sunday. You're the support and love that I have, that I get from. So we lean on each other. We carry each other's burden. We lift each other's up. We encourage each other. That's why we should be thanking God for all believers every day. Colossians, open your Bibles again, because these are the concluding verses that I have. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. And this was read by Sister Myra. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. See, giving thanks to the Father. This was a letter of Paul to the Colossae. Then you go further, chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called. That's all of us, into one body, and be thankful. So we have no reason to be complaining, but we can all be thankful. So I will conclude with this video, and I think you probably have seen it on Facebook, and it's been sometimes or on emails. And so here's the video.